Please open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 546. We'll begin with verse 5 and read through verse 11. Verse 11 being the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read the verses responsively. Nehemiah, chapter 6, page 546 in your Scofield Bible. Verses 5 through 11. Let's stand, please, all of us standing together for the reading of the Word of God. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehidabeel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And let's finish together on the text verse. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And let's pray.
Nobody asked us to make that a quartet. You probably noticed a little need for a bass in there somewhere, didn't you? And I'm not upset about it. I'm not upset. But I love that song. That song was, it's an older, we used to sing it when I was a kid. Not we, but we did. In fact, Miss Howes used to sing in a trio when she was in junior high. And they sang that song that they just sang. I quote it often, Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain. And it, I think, was made for a quartet. Now, ladies, you can take your shoes off, and you can leave them off for a while, because we're going to be here for a little while tonight. And I want to talk tonight on the subject, what's it going to take to stop you? What's it going to take to stop you? I get a little disappointed when somebody decides I shouldn't teach a Sunday school class anymore. And here's a Sunday school class becomes vacant. Somebody gets a little tired. Well, you're not the first person that ever got tired. I expect Jesus got a tad weary while he was here also. Somebody just decides to quit the bus route, quit the bus ministry. Funny thing, people do that and they always say, I want you to know I'm not a quitter. May I define the word quit? It's somebody that was doing something ain't doing it no more. That's what the word quit means. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. I want to speak. And by the way, I start off with a couple of illustrations, and much of what I'm going to say tonight is testimony. But I made mention to you before that the introduction that I have received in America that I appreciate the most, and I'm introduced to speak somewhere every week. And the one I appreciate the most is one from Pastor Clint Miller in Escondido, California, where he simply said, I introduced to you Dr. Jack Hiles, the toughest man I know. Now, I'm not sure that's true, but I like what he said. I don't know if I'm the toughest man he knows, but I know one thing. I'm not tender. And I want to talk to you tonight. And then Dr. Lee Robertson made a statement years ago. I'm talking about 35, 36 years ago or more. When I came to Hammond, we pulled out the American Baptist Convention, and we're having our big vote. And somebody said, Dr. Robertson said, you know, Brother Jack Hiles is in a real battle up in Hammond. And Dr. Robertson said, don't worry about Jack. He calls me Jack. And Ms. Hiles calls me Dr. Hiles, but Dr. Robertson calls me Jack. And he said, don't worry about Jack. He said, Jack is a survivor. And I want to talk to you tonight about one of the greatest survivors in all the Bible, the man Nehemiah. I want all the college students to quit courting. All you folks in the balcony, way up in the corners of the balcony, I want you to sit up straight. I want every teenager back in the back, whoever you are, I want you to listen to me. I want all you folks over here to listen carefully tonight. I want everybody to listen. His name was Nehemiah. He was cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, sometimes called King Xerxes, the king of Persia. Nehemiah was a happy man, rarely ever depressed. Please be still now. He was a very happy kind of a man. He was the cupbearer of the king, and that meant that he was privileged to and responsible to appear before the king regularly. One day he came before the king, and his countenance was fallen. He had a sad look on his face. And the king inquired, because he had never come to the king before. I like that, by the way. I like a man that's on top side. I like a man that's cheerful. But here for one time, and I like a fellow, when he looks down, it's unusual. Folks know something's wrong. And so the king inquired and said, Nehemiah, I said, what's wrong? And Nehemiah told him. He said, word has come from a man, one of my brethren named Hanani, from the land of Palestine. And he says that the land there is in bad shape. He said the walls are level around the city. And he said, by the way, the temple had already been built, and some of the Jews had come back and had been reconstructing the city. But he said the walls lay waste, and the temple and the gates of the walls have been burned with fire. And he asked permission from the king, if the king would allow him to go back to Jerusalem and lead in the rebuilding of the wall and the re-erecting of the gates around the city. The king agreed to do so, and they agreed on a certain amount of time. And they agreed that he would take a certain amount of time, would go back and lead in the building or rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah came to the city of Jerusalem, and there he viewed the walls, and he was crushed. He wept as he saw the walls of his beloved city leveled, and the gates of that city burned with fire. So Nehemiah began, gathered a group of people together, God's people, and started the rebuilding of these walls. Opposition began, as it always will. I remind you young preachers going out of here, you get yourself a tough hide before you leave. You'll either do nothing for God and be loved by everybody, or do something for God and have opposition. It's just as natural as can be. You're going to have it. And so they started building the wall, and there were two men, Samaritans. These Samaritans were named Sanballat and Tobiah. Sanballat and Tobiah led in opposition to Nehemiah and the people who are rebuilding the walls around the city and rebuilding the gates. The first thing they said was they mocked them, made fun of them. They said, what do these feeble Jews? And then they said, the wall that you're building, even a fox could come up and knock the wall down. But they kept on building the wall. Then Sanballat and Tobiah led in a battle. I mean, they actually fought against them and tried to hinder the construction or reconstruction of the walls. And again, they kept on building the wall.
You would have resigned if they kept on going. And then Sanballat and Tobiah led in threats to kill the workers. But they kept on building the wall. And then the workers became discouraged. In fact, some of them said, we've mortgaged our houses. We've mortgaged our land, our property for this job, and now they look at the opposition we have. Others of them said, we borrowed money from the government. We borrowed money. And now we're losing that money, and discouragement came. But Nehemiah kept on building the wall. When they saw, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the enemies of the rebuilding of the wall saw, listen to me now, everybody in the house looking right this way. When they saw the wall was going up, then this is the tactic that the devil always uses. He says, come and join our ministerial association. Now that you're successful, we'll fight you till we see you're successful. And once we see you, you know, Billy Graham was not very popular with the National Council of Churches. They got so big they couldn't do anything about it. And he'd be better, a lot better off if he never had messed with them, by the way, just by way of observation. But I'm saying, they said, look, let's meet together. And I like what Nehemiah said. He said, I cannot come down off the wall. I'm not going to join up with you guys. You guys have tried to destroy us. You don't believe what we're trying to do. You don't want these walls built. And I'm not going to come down off the wall. Now, like what he said also. He said, for I am doing a great work. I guess he was. He was rebuilding the wall around the city of Jerusalem. Then word came that they were going to kill Nehemiah. Now listen carefully. This is the final stone of the foundation of the sermon. Word came to Nehemiah, they're going to kill you. And they loved Nehemiah, and so they came to Nehemiah, and they said, Nehemiah, why don't you find refuge in the temple? The temple had been rebuilt already in the book of Ezra. Why don't you find refuge in the temple? And they won't come inside the house of God to kill you, but you're going to be killed. And they pleaded for him to walk, to go in the temple for a refuge of safety, whereon Nehemiah made one of the great statements in all the Bible. He said, should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee? Boy, I like that. And then he said, I will not go into the temple. He said in plain terms, I ain't running. I may die, but I ain't running. They may blow the wall down, but I ain't running. He said, should such a man as I flee? I'd like for everybody in this room tonight that shaves. I'd like for every man in this room tonight to go home, look in the mirror, and say those same things. Should such a man as I flee? I'd like for every preacher boy at Howells Anderson College to walk home, go back to the room tonight, look in the mirror, and ask yourself the question, should such a man as I flee? Ask a question tonight. What's going to take to stop you? You are as great a man as what it takes to stop you, or a great a person. One of my bitterest enemies wrote me a letter years ago, before he came out open as my enemy, and he said, you're the greatest man I know. He said, I judge a man's greatness by what it takes to stop him. And he said, if my judgment is correct by what it takes to stop him, he said, you're the greatest man I know. I don't agree with that statement, but I'll tell you what, I ain't running. Will it take a little homesickness to stop you? That makes you want to be a child again at home, college student? Then perhaps you should go back and get some diapers and put them on. Get you a bassinet and sleep in it. Get some little birds up over your bed. And look at those little birds. Shall such a student as I flee? Shall such a student as I quit? I said this often at Howells Anderson College. I don't want the word quit in any dictionary at Howells Anderson College. I want you to take every dictionary you've got out there. I want you to turn to the word quit and get some scissors or a razor blade and cut it out. I don't want it in there. I don't want the word compromise in there either. It's easy to cut them both out. They're close together in the dictionary. They both start with a K, quit and compromise. And those aren't laughing. You've got problems. I don't want the word compromise in a dictionary of mine. I don't want the word quit in a dictionary of mine. Should such a man as I quit? Should such a person as I flee? Should such a person as I run? Nehemiah said, I ain't running. If you want to kill me, go ahead, but I'm not running. I'd rather be dead than take my stand than alive and be a yellow-bellied coward. Should such a man as I flee? He said, what will it take to stop you? Will it take a girlfriend or a boyfriend that you feel you cannot do without? Who is not worth having if they would have a quitter like you? Should such a man as I flee? What will it take to stop you? Will it take a disease in your body that will conquer you with pain and prevent your being an overcomer? The reason God gives you opposition is so you can overcome. God doesn't give you pain or opposition so you can quit. These doctors, they say, well, you got Epstein-Barr or whatever that is, and I realize that probably is a good disease. But you know, folks were working with Epstein-Barr before Epstein was ever born. You know, we didn't get sick as much when I was a kid. We didn't have as many diseases. Hadn't invented a bunch of this stuff. We just had fever and took some black draught and went back to work. That's all we did. Mama just get some sugar and put some coal oil or kerosene, a few drops of kerosene in the sugar and give me a spoonful of it, and I'd go back to school. That'd cure anything. I'll make you not give a flip whether you live or not. What does it take to stop you? Should such a man as I flee? What does it take to stop you? Would it take a few bad breaks that you will use as a conqueror rather than a challenge? Will it be passion that leads you to sell your chastity for a momentary thrill? What does it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? College men, if you can't make it in Howells Anderson College, you won't make it when you face the denomination about to vote you out. You can't make it in Howells Anderson College, you won't make it when some rich people say it's us or the bus kids. If you can't run with a footman, you wait till you get in a horse race. Shall such a man as I flee? What'll it take to stop you? Will it take breaking up with a sweetheart that causes you to be the Demas of the year? Your loyalty is more given more to a skirt than to a savior. What takes to stop you? Young lady, will it be your coming marriage in the summertime? You got to listen to me while over here. You can cut up later. What takes to stop you? Be your coming marriage in the summertime? You got to take 4 months to go home to plan a 20-minute wedding ceremony? I'll plan it for you in a day's time. I'll get your dress, your flowers, your attendance, get everything all set up in a day's time. What takes to stop you? I wouldn't marry a girl that would drop school to go get ready for a wedding because I'm already married. What takes to stop you? Should such a man as I flee? What's it mean? Should such a man as I turn back? That's what he's talking about. What will take to stop you? Will it be Chanel number 5, a pretty figure and a fair face that makes you the Samson of the year? What will take to stop you? Should such a man as I flee? Will it be disloyalty and a critical tongue that makes you the Benedict Arnold of the year? Will it be a lack of self-discipline which keeps you from using the adequate mind that God has given you? Answer the question, what does it take to stop you? Should such a man as I flee, said Nehemiah? You think that that kind of a tenacity is only supposed to be to Nehemiah? You think God just tells Nehemiah, you ought to keep going? Or you think all of us ought to keep going? What'd it take to stop you? Would it be a spoon and a fork that you use all too often and all too long? Will you be conquered by calories? What'd it take to stop you? I'm going to go on past that one. I made a statement like that the other day, and Miss Bordway walked up after it was over. She said, you had to say it again, didn't you? What takes to stop you? Will it be the breaking up with a sweetheart that causes you to be the Demas of the year? What takes to stop you? Will it be your disobedience to the Great Commission, which leads sooner or later to criticism of real soul winners? Listen to me, young people. Will it be sitting there not behaving, not listening in church, that'll cause you not to get enough blood, enough iron in your blood to keep you from being a quitter? I've got more respect for a pimp than I've got for a quitter. What'll it take to stop you? Will it be lust for the unusual that drives you to read the John MacArthur, C.S. Lewis, and Chuck Swindoll books? So you can become a believer in lifestyle evangelism? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be failure out yonder when you pastor a church, young men, because you can't succeed, then you just say this is not the dispensation for success. This is the dispensation of floppery. Or failing. Show me what it takes to stop you. I'll tell you what you are. Nehemiah said, laugh at us, make fun of us, fight us, criticize us, hate us, send out letters. They sent out five letters against him. They went to the king and told the king he was guilty of insurrection, trying to take over the throne, lies, but he kept on going. And finally they said, Nehemiah, they're going to kill you. We love you. Get inside the temple. They won't come in there to kill you. And Nehemiah said, I'll be dead outside the temple before I'll be alive inside the temple, said such a man as I flee. I recall 1976. 4th of July was on Sunday that year. Word came on the radio that Dr. Jack Hiles would be killed. That's the 200th anniversary of our country, and I was listed with the communists as their top 10 most wanted men in America to kill. It was on the radio that I'd be killed that day, and my family was concerned. And personally, I believe that God takes care of his own, and with my great faith in God, I was scared to death. But that morning, I wore a bulletproof vest. Now, honestly, I don't have it on tonight. This is all me. I know it looks like I've got a bulletproof vest on. But really, these shoulders are mine. This chest is mine. You thought I had a bulletproof. You got one on. In fact, you got a dozen or two on. I walked to the pulpit that morning expected to be shot. I decided if it was my swan song, I was going to sing all four stanzas of it. You get that tape sometime and hear what I preached about that morning about America. I preached on the subject, will the real America please stand up? You may hit me, beat me, shoot me, criticize me, scandalize me, but you won't make me run. My chassis has no reverse in it. What'll it take to stop you? Will it take some wacky doctrine, such as hyper-Calvinism or hyper-dispensationalism, that entices your intellect and explains why you can't do anything for God? Will it be a desire for popularity, which will cause you to interact with the charismatic movement? Listen to me over here. I'm preaching to you. Some of you guys are not going to make it because you're too wrapped up in Chanel number 5. Helen Curtis. You're too wrapped up. You're too lovesick to be on fire for God. If I was a young lady, I wouldn't marry a guy that talked to me in church. I really wouldn't. I'd just quit him. What'll it take to stop you? Will it be money? Has you sell your birthright for less than a bowl of chili? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be friends of a lifetime turning on you as you turn your back on your friend to stick it closer than a brother? Will you say with Nehemiah, should such a man as I flee? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be some fallen Christian that shakes your faith in God's servants as you look at the few and not the many and become a fallen person yourself, though you would not call yourself a fallen person because you'd not fallen into adultery or drunkenness, you'd just fallen into cowardice. And to those of us that don't quit, that's just about as distasteful as the other. Will it be a son or daughter who breaks your heart and causes you to give up? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be slander that attacks your personal character and causes you to despair and quit? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be having to live below the poverty level as you realize that others have luxuries and conveniences you don't have? Nehemiah said, Sanballat and Tobiah, shoot the best arrows you got. Launch your best missiles. Just launch your most fierce attack. You may hurt me. You may wound me. You may kill me. But you won't cause me to turn my back and run. Should such a man as I flee? What'll take to stop you? Will it be softness that's made you think it's too hard to stay in the battle? What'll take to stop you? Will it be some discontented, rule-breaking friend, so-called friend, from whom you should have severed years ago? Will it be discouragement or depression or discontent or disillusionment that'll determine and bring your feet defeat and demise? Will it be laziness or lust or loafing? What'll it take to stop you? Boy, if I were here tonight, and I were a man, and I am, but if I were here tonight in the pews and I were a man, I'd give myself a middle name called Nehemiah. Shall such a man as I flee? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. Don't flee. I'm talking to soul winners. Don't flee. I'm talking to... It's the strange thing about this. Some of you folks admire me because I'm not a quitter. Well, why don't you start admiring yourself? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be compromise that makes you push a footer of the decade? Will it be that you don't have the fortitude to take it? Or the four-letter word starts with a G, ends with an S, has a UT in the middle of it? Will it be listening to some bum who wants to steal from you your purity? What'll it take to stop you? Will it be that you're a thief for being lazy at work? Some of you guys, I can't pay my school bill. You could have if you'd have worked and didn't get fired. And you trot your little lazy carcass up to Mr. Sally and say, could you find me a job? I know him, boy. You're going to get it. Man, I tell you what, I'm like Mother Teresa compared to him. What'll it take to stop you? a group of whores, whoremongers, prostitutes, drunks, dope heads, perverts, and queers, otherwise known as a rock band. Let me say it again, you little El Punkos with your dirty rock music, with your little earplugs. Let me say it again. What takes to stop you? A group of whores, whoremongers, and disprove this statement. Disprove it. A group of whores, whoremongers, prostitutes, drunks, dope heads, perverts, and queers, otherwise known as a rock band. What did it take to stop you? Calories, sweets, fat calories, pie, cake, milkshakes, and weight. I had to say it again. What it takes to stop you? A doctor's report that makes Ms. Evans look like an Elijah and you look like a wimp? Boy, I tell you what I'd like, what I'd hate to be. A little 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, 20-year-old boy at Howells Anderson College that can't stay in college. When there's a woman out there that's dying with cancer, says she's been dying for years, she won't die. Woman out there with cancer keeps on going, keeps on teaching, keeps on traveling around the country, keeps on preaching revival crusade. Now you say, I've got to go home, I can't pay my bill. Oh, you little wimp, you. What does it take to stop you? Show me what it takes to stop you, and I'll tell you what kind of a person you are. What does it take to stop you? Will it be some para-church ministry that makes you think you're serving God without the battles? Will you be a Demas who forsakes God's men? Or a David who chases a rustling skirt? Or a Judas who's after a little silver? Or a John Mark who wants to go back home? Or a Jacob who has no character? Or Rehoboam, who only seeks advice from other students? Won't you come and get the old man's advice? I'll tell you why. Well, you hear, you say, I know what he'd say. You better know it. I'd say be a man. If I were a house, and this is not a college sermon tonight, but I'm sort of mad at some of you college boys. Some of you guys didn't shave with a tweezer. If I were a male, and I am, and I washed out of college, I wouldn't go home. I would not show my face at home. I wouldn't walk down the aisle in my church. Hey, you hear what I said, El Wimpo? El Yellow Spino? El Cowardo? You know what I said? El Failure-o? I wouldn't go home. I couldn't look at my mother and father. I couldn't let my church look at me, walk down the aisle, a flop, a failure. Well, you say, I'm not a quitter. That's exactly what you are. If you start and stop, you call it quitting where I came from. What does it take to stop you tonight? Will you be a Solomon who cannot resist a pretty face? Or a Balaam who sells out for a little honor? Or a Korah who criticizes leadership, who knows more than the leaders do? Or a Jezebel who is a self-willed woman? Or an Ahab who lets her be? Or a Jonah who just doesn't want to do God's will? Or a Diotrephes who wants preeminence? Or a Demas who turns back? Or a Samson who falls because of a little perfume? What would it take to stop you? I said, what would it take to stop you? That's what you are. It's not how well you can sing. It's what it takes to stop you. It's not what kind of sermon you can preach. It's what does it take to stop you. It's not how talented you are. It's what does it take to stop you. It's not how gifted you are. It's what it takes to stop you. Not how much charisma you have. It's what does it take to stop you. That's what you are. What does it take to stop you? The state of Texas couldn't stop Lester Rolla. The Tarrant County Baptist Association couldn't stop John Rice. London Baptist Association. Couldn't stop Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Slander and bad health couldn't stop David Livingston. Tuberculosis couldn't stop David Brainerd. 12 years in prison couldn't stop John Bunyan. Blindness couldn't stop Fanny Crosby. Roman Empire and Mamertine prison couldn't stop the Apostle Paul. The Babylonian Empire couldn't stop Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like what they said. They said, we're going to put you in the fire furnace if you'll bow down and worship this doll. This doll was made by the Ministerial Association, National Council of Churches. Tammy Faye Baker raised the money for it. 700 Club had a part in it. The Hammond Ministerial Association took an offering for it. They said, you guys, everybody's got to bow down and worship this gold image, but thank God there are 3 Hiles Anderson students there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, we're not going to worship that doll. They said, we'll put you in the fire furnace. They said, go ahead. They said, we'll turn the thing, put thermostat up 7 times hotter. And they said, be it known unto you, O King, our God will deliver us. But if not, I like those 3 words, but if not, if we are burned to a crisp, if we're ashes in 10 minutes, we're not going to bow down and worship that God. What does it take to stop you? King Cyrus and the Media Persia Empire couldn't stop Daniel. 800 false teachers couldn't stop Elijah. A giant 9 feet 9 inches tall couldn't stop David. Hamilton County Baptist Association couldn't stop Lee Robertson. Exile couldn't stop the Apostle John. Burning a stake couldn't stop John Huss. The Red Sea and Pharaoh couldn't stop Moses. A flood couldn't stop Noah. Pharaoh's threats couldn't stop Jochebed. Abandonment and imprisonment couldn't stop Joseph. An invalid wife couldn't stop Charles Haddon Spurgeon. A constant threats on his life couldn't stop Billy Sunday. Cancer couldn't stop Martin Evans. An iron lung couldn't stop Monty Watts. Losing an eye couldn't stop Don Boyd. A stake of martyrdom couldn't stop Latimer and Ridley. Congregational denomination couldn't stop Dwight L. Moody. The British Empire couldn't stop George Washington. Prison couldn't stop the Apostle Peter. 105 temperature and dying with cancer couldn't stop Dan Parr. Losing a family of children couldn't stop the Willis family. Loss of wife and children couldn't stop Adoniram Judson. Death of his wife couldn't stop Ezekiel. And the whole kingdom couldn't stop Esther. I'd hate to be a man and for Miss Esther to have more courage than I have. Hey, put that in your pulp and smack it. Esther walks up before the king and says, let my people go. And you walk up before the cottage and say, here I go. Fooey on you. Oh, we need some men. What does it take to stop you? A nagging wife? Pretty figure? Hard course? Difficult job? Hurt feelings? 100 degrees temperature, headache, sore throat, loss of sleep, a little criticism, homesickness. 3 men stood in front of me, the first full-time church I had, the deacon, chairman, the Sunday school superintendent, and the treasurer. A little kid preacher, 21 years of age, and they said to me, young man, we're the leaders of this church. And this church has called you, but we'll see to it you never walk in that pulpit. I had all of a sudden had the strangest desire to walk in that pulpit. And this verse was my motto in those days. Should such a man as I flee? Shall a head deacon and a treasurer and a Sunday school superintendent cause me to run? 3 wealthy men sat in my office, and said, "We'll run you out of town if you stay at First Baptist Church Hammond." They said, "We'll see to it that you'll not be able to pay your mortgage, and we'll run you out of town." I turned to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 11 and said, "Should such a man as I flee?" Praise God, our mortgage just burned last winter. We don't owe anybody a dime. Let me tell you something. All you need is faith in God and the God in whom you have faith and faithfulness and loyalty. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Don't run. Don't turn back. Don't you yell about it. Just say, "Should such a man as I flee?" No! A city councilman said to me in Garland, Texas, "I'll run you out of town." I said, "You may carry my body out of town, but you won't run me out of town. You may put me in a pine box and carry me in a casket out of town, but you won't run me out of town." He said, "The city council will pass a resolution, get you out of town, because I was fighting dancing in the local public school." Two of our guys got elected. One of our students got elected, didn't have Christian schools in those days. One got elected president of the senior class. Other got elected, I think, vice president. And time came for the senior play. They're going to raise money. Listen to me over here. Hey, fellas, listen to me. They're going to raise some money. The senior play proceeds were going to pay for the senior prom. And so our guy had the lead part in the senior play. He found out the morning of the play that evening that the proceeds were going to pay for the senior prom or the dance, and he wouldn't participate in the play. I got a call from Miss Jezebel down to local Garland High School. She said, "Reverend, would you come down here and do something to your boy? Your boy has the lead part in the senior play tonight, and he's refused to participate. Would you come down here and do something to him?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I will." She said, "Good." I walked down to her office, put my hand out, said, "Congratulations, buddy." God bless God, they called off the senior prom. Why? Because two of our boys decided to do what was right. So the city councilman said, "I'll run you out of town." And I said, "I can't run backwards. See, what you'd like to do, you'd like to have a big church someday, but you don't want to travel the rocky road to get it." Fellow walked down the aisle, that aisle right there. Walked right down that aisle one Sunday night. He pulled out a piece of paper out of his pocket. It was a $65,000 contract on my life. He came that night to kill me. Walked down the aisle and showed me that contract, $65,000 contract. Reached in his pocket, took the gun he was going to shoot me with, gave it to me, and said, "I think I'll get saved instead." Just such a man as I flee. Deacon Chairman said years ago, "We need to have a meeting to discuss your preaching." I said, "Go ahead, I ain't showing up." You say you shouldn't say, "I'm not showing up." No, I ain't showing up. The executive secretary of the American Baptist Convention came with his little Tonto, the assistant secretary, with him. They came to our church. We're having our big battle. I said to him, his first name was Dallas. I said, "Dallas, I know why you're here. You're here to cause trouble." I said, you're not gonna say anything in First Baptist Church of Hammond. You may think you can run the entire state of Indiana American Baptist Convention, but you found one church that you're not going to run, and you're not going to say a word tonight. I said, "The truth is, we're having a business meeting tonight." He said, "That's why I'm here." I said, "We're discussing tonight the future of this church. That's why I'm here." I said, "You sit down, and if you as much as stand up," I said, "stand up. Don't, if you stand up in our meeting, we'll get two men to get you with the arms and two to get your legs, and we'll throw you on Sibley Street on your bottom." I said, "That goes for you too, Tonto." We stayed here that night till 11:15. They sat over here on the front row right over there in the old building. They didn't even stand up for singing. Oh, God, give us some men. Somebody that'll never start a fight but never run from one. Should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee, said Nehemiah? Wealthy man said, it's us or the bus kids. Ms. Hiles and I sat at a table of one of the wealthiest men in all the state of Indiana, and certainly in Northwest Indiana, in a beautiful mansion kind of a home, with the entire meal flown in from Europe. I mean the entire meal flown in for that one. We had French fries, Polish sausage, German upside down cake. It was upside down before we left. His wife said, Reverend, have you joined the Ministerial Association yet? I'll make a long story short, which is unusual for me, but I just let her know, no, I'm not going to join the association, and told her husband it wasn't in their business whether I joined or not. They said, we'll see to it you don't stay in town. I said, you didn't bring me to town, and you won't call. I missed it. Should such a man as I quit? No. I was praying out there on the banks of Lake Michigan. Got through praying, got in my car, started driving away, and a man picked a rifle up and shot it at my car. I saw him before he shot, swerved the car, and the bullet came right by the car. Now I pray on Wolf Lake. I was jogging in Munster. All of a sudden, the car came by and started shooting bullets at my feet. That's where I learned how to dance. They tried to set our house on fire. Ministerial Association Hammond passed a resolution against our church because we're knocking on the doors of their people. I cried all night about that. Got a call one night, said, you'll die before Sunday. I may die, but you won't shoot me in the back. Had bomb threats. Contract on my life, bullet through our window, dozens of lawsuits. State of Indiana Health Department, one year because of measles epidemic, said, right in the middle of youth conference, said, you can't have youth conference. I said, watch me. I got on the telephone and called the governor. And I said, Governor, put me in jail if you want to, put me in prison if you want to, but we got folks here from all of America, and we're not closing down the youth conference. I've been attacked by the Dallas Association, Texas Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist Convention, East Texas Baptist College, Dallas Morning News, Dallas Times Herald, Baptist Standard Paper, National Association for the Blind, National Association for the Prevention of Cruelty to Dumb Animals. I was unkind to one of the people that's in charge. American Broadcasting System, Columbia Broadcasting System, National Broadcasting System, Hammond Times, Gary Post Tribune, Fox Network, Hammond Ministerial Association, City Councilmen, Deacons, Trustees, and radio stations that have never run. And you like that? Boy, I thank God we got a preacher that doesn't run. I'd like to have a few members don't run. And I've got as much right to quit as you do. You ought to sit. Every once in a while, somebody at 65 resigned a Sunday school class because they're too old. Man, to me, a 65-year-old is a child. I've never attacked anybody, but I've never run from anybody. I may get whipped, I may lose, I may be killed. but I won't flee. How about you? What's it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? You say you sound pretty proud because you have been stopped. You'd be surprised how good that feels. You ought to try it sometime. Old story. I'll tell it again because I want to hear it. You know the story. I love it. I've forgotten it, but whatever it is, I love the story. Napoleon had never lost a battle. He came to a place where he was losing for the first time a battle. He felt like that if he could pull his troops back and regroup, he could come back and win the battle. He called his little bugler to him and he said, "Bugler, blow a retreat. I want my men to come back. We're going to regroup and then we'll make an attack, launch another attack. Blow a retreat." Little bugler boy said, "Sir, I don't know how to blow a retreat. We never have retreated. I've never blown a retreat." Napoleon said, "Son, I said blow that retreat." He said, "Sir, I don't know how to blow a retreat. I don't know. You never taught me how to blow a retreat." He said, "I command you, blow that retreat." The boy said, "Sir, I would if I could, but I don't know how. I never learned how to blow a retreat." He said, "Put that bugle to your lips and try." Little old bugle boy put that bugle to his lips and tried to blow a retreat. But the biggest charge you ever heard came out of that bugle. When the enemy forces heard that charge, they said they must have fresh troops coming up from the rear. We better pull back. When Napoleon's forces heard that bugler boy's charge, they said we must have some fresh troops coming up. Let's go get them. And the battle was won because one little bugler boy never learned how to blow a retreat. God bless Nehemiah. "Nehemiah, get inside the temple. They're going to kill you." They used to say back in the day of communism, "I'd rather be red than dead." But there are some of us that change that. "I'd rather be dead than red. And I'd rather you walk by and look at my body this week." And my ministry be ended. And to turn my back on that book right there. Or the call of God. Or the work of God. Or the blood of Christ. Nehemiah said, "Should such a man as I flee?" What takes to stop you? What take to make you quit your Sunday school class? What would it take to make you quit your bus route? What take to make you quit the choir? What would it take to make you quit school? What would it take to make you go home? Show me what it takes to stop you. And I'll tell you what kind of person you are. A long time after you've gone to bed tonight, I hope some of you folks hear it ringing in your ear. "Should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee?" You sit with the house. Have you ever wanted to run? Yeah, all the time. I got to tell you, I got a sermon. I'm going to preach it in a few days. I was at O'Hare Field the other day, and I was buying a newspaper. I looked up, and I saw a little one of these little things, the magnet that sticks on your refrigerator. And here's what it said. "Leadership is a person who hides his panic from others." I love that. Leadership is a person who hides his panic from others. You say, "Brother Hines, have you ever wanted to run?" I've never wanted to stay. You say, "You mean you've been scared?" Scared sick. You think Daniel, when he threw him in the lion's den, said, "Here, come, fellows, get the man ready." No. Okay. Throw me in. Sure, I've been scared. Sure, I wanted to turn back. You say, "Why didn't you?" I tell you one little sentence. "I consider myself a man." I'm not a daredevil, and God doesn't intend you to be a daredevil. God intends you to be scared to death, but keep on doing what's right. Our Heavenly Father, I'm going to quit.